بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And the correct response by Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah for those who altered the religion of Jesus alayhi salam. In the last session we came to know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited the Jews to Islam, and this was evidence that his call is not restricted to the Arabs. This is the point that Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah made. And with respect to the Christians who were in Arabia at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were the people of Najran. And Najran is in the south of Arabia. And they were Christians. And a delegation came from them. The story of the delegation is mentioned in many references. And they were about 60 riders, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the proof on them in the masjid in Medina, in the mosque in Medina. And Allah the Most High revealed concerning this incident, he revealed the beginning of Surah Al-Imran of chapter 3. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam argument overcame them, and it became clear to them that he was the messenger of Allah, Allah commanded him, if they don't answer him, then he should call them for mubahala. Mubahala. What is mubahala? To join in invoking Allah to curse the liars. So this is joining with someone on imprinting the curse of Allah upon whichever of them did wrong. This is the meaning of mubahala. And this is what Allah referred to in Surah Al-Imran when he revealed verse the surah, and this is verse 61 of the chapter. قال الله تعالى فمن حاجك فيه من بعد ما جاءك من العلم فقل تعالوا ندع أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين. Then whoever disputes with you concerning him, Jesus عليه السلام, after all this knowledge that has come to you, meaning that Jesus was a slave of Allah and has no share in divinity, then say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves. Then we pray and invoke sincerely the curse of Allah upon those who lie. When he invited them to the mubahala, they requested to be given respite until they have consultations. So they spoke with each other, this Christian delegation, and they said to each other, you know that he is a prophet. تَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ, that he is a prophet. And that there had been no prophet who used the mubahala except the curse of Allah befell those who belied him. So they exempted themselves from the mubahala, and they enjoined a treaty with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and submitted to pay the jizya, the tax, عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ, willing submission and feeling subdued and in humility. Why? When they feared the invocation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon them. Since they knew that he was a prophet, so they submitted to his rule, as the people of the scripture who live in the lands of Islam, the land of Muslims, they submit to the rule of Allah and His Messenger, and they pay the tax levy, عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ, willing submission and subdued. And they, this Christian delegation, were the first to pay the jizya from the Christians. They were the first to pay the jizya from the Christians. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigned upon them and upon those who accepted Islam from them, he assigned Amr bin Hazm al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. And he was, you know, how old was he when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigned him to be in charge of them in the area of Najran? He was 17 years old to teach them the deen and to take from them the charities. And this was in the 10th year after Hijrah. He, radiyallahu anhu, Amr bin Hazm al-Ansari, died during the reign of Umar, radiyallahu anhu. And Al-Hafiz bin Hajar preponderated that he died after the 50. And Allah knows best. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigning him, he wrote the famous book, reminding the matters of deen. So they were under the covenant of the Muslims, under the rule of Allah and His Messenger, and under the supervision of his delegate and rulership of his delegate Amr bin Hazm al-Ansari. And their story is famous. The people of biography and people of hadith and people of fiqh reported their stories, and the origin of their narrations are known in the books of Sahih and in the Sunan, as we will also cover. And from the delegates, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amr bin Hazm al-Ansari, yes, this is his name, and from the delegates also which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent for the conquest of the Christians of Mu'ta was Ja'far and Zayd and Abdullah bin Rawaha. Then in the eighth year after Hijrah, Mecca was opened. In the ninth year after Hijrah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu led the Muslims in the pilgrimage to Mecca. And the command was there that no mushrik after this year would be allowed to make the Hajj, and no mushrik would circulate the house naked. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed then Ayatul Saif Al-Mutlaqa, the general verse of the sword in jihad of the mushriks and the people of the book. And this is in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 5. The mushriks were of two types. Some who had an unspecified duration of covenants, covenants given to them were unspecified in terms of duration. And this type of covenant is permissible but not binding. This one, this type is permissible but not binding. General, unspecified duration. A covenant of this type is permissible but not binding. Another covenant which occurred also with the mushriks is that they had specified covenants, meaning for specified durations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, He subhanahu wa ta'ala annulled the general, unrestricted, unspecified duration, the covenant of the unspecified duration, the general one. That is because it is permissible but not binding. And then commanded him to let them move freely and travel for 4 months. And as to those who had a temporal covenant, then it is binding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to fulfill this type of covenant which was temporal. So with respect to the covenants, we learn a benefit here is that the covenants can be permissible in the general sense but not binding, and they can be also what? Temporal. So the general is permissible but not binding, meaning the imam, the leader of the Muslims, will have the choice between nullifying it and let it go, while the temporal one is binding. And all of these were mentioned from verse 1 to verse 13 in Surah Bara'ah. In Surah Bara'ah, in chapter 9, or Surah At-Tawbah. What is relevant to this point is that the delegation from the Christians of the Najran, their rulers, and their chiefs came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the 10th year after Hijrah. And from the delegates were the delegates of Abd al-Qais, and he was a Christian, and his delegate accepted Islam, his delegation. From the people who came amongst the delegation of Wafd Abd al-Qais, in the delegation of Abd al-Qais, was Al-Jarud bin Amr, and he was a Christian. And he was a leader amongst the people of Al-Qais, Abd al-Qais. He was killed as a mujahid in the land of Faris in Persia, after accepting Islam, and his Islam became good, and the Prophet ﷺ was pleased by his Islam. Also, another group was the group of Najran, which we talked about. And the Prophet ﷺ wrote for them the book of a treaty, and assigned upon them Amr bin Hazm, as mentioned earlier, Al-Ansari. Three were in charge. One of them is called Al-Aqib, and his name is Abdul Masih. Abdul Masih, the slave of the Messiah. And he was their chief and consultant. And the other was, his name is Abu al-Harith, and he was their bishop and their leader also, one of their leaders, and the one who took care of their schools. They came to the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, to the mosque, and they had upon them silk garments, beautiful clothes. And so he led them in, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the masjid, but he did not speak to them. And then the next day they came having the dress of monks on them, and they greeted him, and he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, responded and invited them to Islam, and they refused, and they began to argue. And then he recited to them the Quran, and he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to them, "If you belie what I tell you, then ubahilukum, I call you to the mubahala." So they left, and then in the next day came this Abdul Masih and two of their leaders to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they responded by saying, "It occurred to us that we should not go with you on the mubahala, on invoking Allah to curse the one who lies. So judge as you wish regarding us, we will give you, and we will make a treaty with you." And so he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, made a treaty with them. And from the treaty is that they would pay the jizya, the tax levy. And he also gave them the covenant of protection, alayhi salatu wasalam, upon themselves and upon their lands and upon their wealth. And that he also took witnesses for that. From them was Abu Sufyan bin Harb. From them was Al-Aqra' bin Habis At-Tamimi. And from them Al-Mughira bin Shu'ba, Abi Amir Al-Thaqafi, who accepted Islam in the year of the trench. And he was known for his wise opinions and smart plotting. Abi Amir, this Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah, all the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigned him on Basra in Iraq, then Kufa in Iraq, and he attended the opening of the greater Syria area. And he lost his eye during the Battle of Al-Yarmouk. And he attended the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah with the Persians and Nahawand. And he shared in the opening of Azerbaijan. And he died in the year 50 after Hijrah, in the time of Muawiyah, or around 51. Radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He was a witness on the covenant which the Prophet ﷺ gave to the Christians. Then after a while, the leaders, the two leaders, or some of the leaders of this Christian delegation, particularly As-Sayyid and Al-Aqib, except that they returned. Later they returned to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and accepted Islam. And he made them dwell the house of Abi Ayyub al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. His name is Khalid bin Zayd al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. He attended the Pledge of Allegiance of Al-Aqaba and the Battle of Badr and all the battles. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as his guest when he came to Medina. For 1 month following his migration from Mecca, at the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, he assigned him over Medina when Ali left to Iraq. Then he followed Ali, joined him, and he shared the fighting against the Khawarij, the rebellions. And he died in the battles opening the land of the Romans during the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So he was one of the witnesses for this covenant. And so the people of Najran stayed on this covenant until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him. Then when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to the reign of Khilafah, he also kept the covenant. And he also wrote that they should continue as long as they don't indulge in haram transactions. They can continue having their covenant. And it is important to note. Naam, Abu Ayyub Khalid bin Zayd al-Ansari, naam. That even the delegates of the Christians that came, they differed amongst themselves regarding Jesus, regarding Isa alayhi salam. Some of them, they used to say, "Hu Allah." Some of them used to say that he is Allah. And some saying he is the son of Allah. And some saying he is one of three. Why? Because those who said that he is Allah, they took as their proof that he used to give, that he was able to give life to the dead and cure the leper and etc. But we know that this was by Allah's leave. And concerning the sonship, they said, well, there was no father of him, and he spoke in the cradle, and this is something that cannot be done by the children of Adam, so he is son of Allah. That's what some of them said. Others said that he is thalithu thalatha, one of three. How? They said, when he refers to himself, he refers to himself in the plural we. No. And in the report which Abi Ja'far al-Tabarani, or rather Muhammad bin Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah, mentioned, he said that when these delegates of the Christian came and disputed regarding Isa alayhi salam with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they asked him, "Who is his father?" And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Don't you know that there is no son except that he resembles his father?" They said, "Yes." So, don't you know that our Lord is ever living, does not die, while Isa alayhi salam will perish? They said, "Yes." He said, "Don't you know that our Lord runs all the affairs and takes care of everything and provisions?" They said, "Yes." He asked them, "Does Isa, Jesus, possess any of that?" They said, "No." He said, "Don't you know that Allah, nothing is hidden from him in the heavens or on the earth?" They said, "Yes, certainly." He said, "Does Isa, does Jesus know any of that except that which he was taught?" They said, "No." He said, "Don't you know that Allah formed Jesus in the womb as he wishes, and that Allah does not eat nor does he drink, etc.?" They said, "Yes." "Don't you know that Isa was carried in his mother's womb as a mother also normally carries the load, and then she gave birth as a woman gives birth to her child? Then he was given nutrition and ate and drank and responded to the call of nature?" They said, "Yes." So then he said, "فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ هَذَا كَمَا زَعَمْتُمْ?" So how could this then be, meaning Isa, he be as you have claimed? So they knew, but they disdained. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses from Surah Al-Imran, the beginning of the chapter of Al-Imran, and they were invited to the mubahala, to invoke Allah to have the curse on the liar. the verse we mentioned earlier in 361. فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ. Come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves. Then we pray and invoke sincerely the curse of Allah upon those who lie. The Prophet ﷺ invited Ali and invited his daughter Fatima and invited his grandchildren Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. And he said, Allahumma ha'ula'i ahli, O Allah, these are my family. And this is in Sahih Muslim. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, from the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, there came the rulers of Najran, the Christians of Najran. And then they declined regarding the mubahala, the invocation concerning the curse. And they accepted the treaty. But they requested that a trustworthy person be sent with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَأَبْعَثَنَّ مَعَكُمْ رَجُلًا أَمِينًا حَقَّ أَمِينًا. I shall send with you a truly trustworthy person. So he looked, the companions were eager, became eager concerning that. So he said, قُمْ يَا أَبَا عُبَيْدَ بْنِ الْجَرَّحِ. Stand up, O Ubayd ibn al-Jarrah, one of the great companions. When he stood up, he said, the Prophet ﷺ, he said concerning him and addressing the Christian delegation, هَذَا أَمِينُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. This is the most honest man of this nation. Allahu Akbar. Referring to Abu Ubaydah, Abu Ubayd ibn al-Jarrah. So, this Christian delegation, or this community of the Christians, were the first to pay the tax, and they were under the Muslim rule. And they preserved their rights according to the covenant. Now, if someone asks the question, what about the verse in Surah Al-Imran 3:64, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Say, O people of the book, people of the scriptures, Jews and Christians, come to a word that is just between us and you, that we worship none but Allah, and that we associate no partners with Him, and that none of us shall take others as lords besides Allah. Then if they turn away, say, bear witness that we are Muslims, ones who submitted to Allah in Islam. If it is said that this was revealed before the verse of Jizya, and the verses concerning the verse of Surah At-Tawbah, verse 5. So this ayah then was revealed before the ayah of jizya, the ayah of tax, and the ayah of mubahala, the ayah of invocation concerning the curse. And we know that the ayah concerning the invocation, the mubahala, we know for certain that it was addressing the story of the Christian delegation. So therefore, we know also that they were the first to pay the tax. So therefore, it becomes evident and clear that their arrival was after the revealing of the tax verse. And the tax verse was revealed after the opening of Mecca. So therefore, it becomes evident, and this is a point of benefit, that the delegation of the Christians of Najran occurred after the verse of the sword, which is the verse of the tax. Also, another verse relevant to this point of evidence and this point of benefit, and bear a little bit so that you can connect completely with the conclusion regarding this. Let's have this verse, which is verse verses 3:65-67. يا أهل الكتاب لم تحاجون في إبراهيم وما أنزلت التوراة والإنجيل إلا من بعده أفلا تعقلون. O people of the scripture, why do you dispute about Ibrahim, about Abraham, while the Torah and the Injil, the Gospel, were not revealed till after him? Have you then no sense? هأنتم هؤلاء حاججتم فيما لكم به علم فلما تحاجون فيما ليس لكم به علم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Verily you are those who have disputed about that over which you have knowledge. Why do you then dispute concerning that which you have no knowledge? It is Allah who knows and you know not. ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. Abraham was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was a true Muslim, hanifan, singling Allah alone in worship, and he was not a mushrik, a disbeliever, an idolater, or a polytheist, or a pagan. So Allah, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited the Jews, the people of the book, and that this verse, which is the verse of dispute, now, 3:65-67, and establishing proof. From this we know therefore that what Allah has mentioned concerning the establishment of the proof and da'wah and call regarding the people of the book in that which is good except those who transgress is an unabrogated verse. Because we know from the delegation of the Najran and the debate that took place with them and the establishment of the proof on them and the verse of the Mubahala occurred after the verse of the sword where there is fighting. This is the point of evidence. Similarly, this indicates that the verse of the sword did not abrogate these verses of calling the people of the book in that which is good, except those who transgress, that this is still unchanged. It is still firm, unabrogated. Similarly, the verse in Surah An-Nahl 16:125. ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Invite mankind, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to the way of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching and argue with them in a way that is better. Truly your Lord knows best who has gone astray from his path and he is the best aware of those who are guided. So why all of this? Why Shaykh al-Islam is mentioning all of this? What is the connection now? From this we learn that there was a call to the Christians who were what? Not from the... It's beyond his own people, you know, beyond the tribe of Quraysh. So his message is going to other than the people of Mecca. He called the Jews and he invited the Christians. And that's why he mentioned the story of the delegate of Najran, the delegation of Najran. So why? Because he's saying that some people say that the verses of mujadala, of argument and debate and establishing evidence, 29:46, which we mentioned earlier, and also the other of 3:65-67, they said that these were abrogated by the verse of the sword. Why? This is an argument not with the people of the scripture unless it be way and it is better. Okay? Except with such of them who do wrong and say we believe in that which has been revealed to us and revealed to you, our God and your God is one Allah and to him we have submitted and invite them to submit to Allah alone. He said, some people said that these verses were abrogated by the verse of the sword. And Shaykh al-Islam, he's saying that those who said these things, it is because they thought that the command to fight the mushriks, the legal fight, opposes what the preaching in that which is good and legal. And this is, he said, وَهَذَا غَلَطٌ, and this is a mistake. So therefore, invite to the way of your Lord by wisdom and good admonition. In 16:125, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. And 29:46, invite mankind to the way of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching, and argue with them in a way that is better. And the verse 29:46 of Surah Al-Ankabut, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ, and argue not with the people of the book unless it is in a way that is better, with good words, good manner, inviting them to Islamic Tawheed, submitting to Allah alone, except with such of them who do wrong, and say to them, we believe in that which has been revealed to us and revealed to you. Our Ilah, our God, and your God is one. He is Allah, and to him we have submitted as Muslims. He said, these verses are not opposed by the command of jihad, making jihad against whom Allah decreed from amongst them, from the people of the book who disdained. Then there is no contradiction in the conclusion, he said. There is no contradiction whatsoever between the command of legal fight and between the commands of arguing in that which is good and inviting in the fair preaching. And since there is no contradiction, then it is not permissible to say that this is abrogated. And it is evident, he said, that each one of these verses may fit in situations while the other may not fit. And applying both of them is more profound in making the guidance of Allah and His religion apparent. And then he clarified this from several angles. First, from the people who are under the Muslim rule, and those who have been given the covenant, and those who sought security with Muslims, we are not commanded to have the jihad of fight with them. They fall under those whom Allah commanded us to invite them in that which is good. They don't fall under those whom we are commanded by Allah's command to fight. Also, take for example, another evidence for this. In Surah At-Tawbah, which contains the verse of the sword, 9:6, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِغْهُ مَأْمَنَهُ. And if anyone of the mushriks, the pagans, seeks your protection, then grant him protection so that he may hear the word of Allah, the Quran, and then escort him to where he can be secure. That is because they are men who know not. Here is a warrior from the pagans. Allah is addressing those type of people. Allah commands to give him security until the evidence is established upon him. Where is this? Look at this where. Please see it where. Which verse is this? In which surah? This is in surah what? Surah what? Bara'a, Tawbah, 9. Which contains what? The dissolution of the covenants, isn't it? Right? And it contains the verse of the sword with those who deserve it. Yes. Yet this occurred in the same surah. Why? لِيُبَيِّنَ اللَّهِ, Shaykh al-Islam said, so that Allah makes it clear, like the like of these people are to be given the protection until the evidence is established, and that it is not permissible to fight him like those who don't seek the proofs and the evidences. So this is not abrogated. You see that? And what is the meaning that escort him or let him hear the word of Allah? What is hear? Meaning just hear it? No, he said he should hear it in a way that he understands what it means. And he said if he is a non-Arab, then it is a must that translation be made so that the proof is established upon him. And if he is an Arab and there are certain words which he may not understand, it is incumbent to clarify the meaning. And if he asks us a question which may indicate a rejection of the Quran, then we answer him. As the Prophet ﷺ, whenever the pagans or the people of the book or the Muslims sometimes would raise questions concerning the Quran, he used to answer them. Like for example in the story of when he answered Ibn al-Zubari, Abdullah ibn al-Zubari, he was a poet from the poets of Quraysh, of the pagans, and he was very hard on the Muslims. After the opening of Mecca, he fled to Najran in the south. Then, as Imam Ibn Kathir mentioned, when he returned to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepted Islam. And then he said some poems as an apology. He, Abdullah ibn Zubari, when he misunderstood something concerning the idol worshipping, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that what they and they worship will be in hell. So he concluded that Jesus, since he is worshipped, okay, he will be also where? Yeah, that's what he concluded. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that you and what you worship will be in hell, will be the fuel for hell. Remember this verse? Let's have it. In chapter 2198, إنكم وما تعبدون من دون الله حصب جهنم أنتم لها واردون. Surah Al-Anbiya 21:98. Certainly you disbelievers and that which you are worshipping now besides Allah are but fuel for hell. You will enter it. So he made an analogy that Jesus also like an example for the gods of the mushriks, the same. You understand? You see that? You see this point? So he raised this issue. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in 101. In the same surah, 21:101. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. Verily those for whom the good has proceeded from us, they will be removed far, far therefrom from hell. Example, Jesus, son of Mary. They shall not hear the slightest sound of it while they abide in that which their own selves desire. And Allah referred to his argument in Surah Az-Zukhruf, verses 57 and 58. 43, yes. وَلَمَّا ضُرِبَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ مَثَلًا إِذَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْهُ يَصِدُّونَ. And when the son of Mary is quoted as an example, meaning Jesus is worshipped like their idols, behold, your people cry aloud, laugh out, and say, وَقَالُوا أَآلِهَتُنَا خَيْرٌ أَمْهُ مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَلًا بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ, and say, are our gods better or is he Jesus? They quoted not the above example except for argument when they made the analogy, but they are quarrelsome people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the distinction why Jesus is not to be from those. As in 21:101, verily those for whom the good has proceeded from us, they will be removed far from hell, far from there from hell. Jesus, son of Mary, they shall not fear the slightest sound in hell while they abide in that which their own self desire. So the argument which they made, the analogy, was incorrect. So the pagans, the mushriks, opposed the text, the authentic text, by corrupt analogy. So Allah made clear their corrupt analogy. Also, like in the case when some of the Christians raised the issue of in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 28. Ya ukhta Harun, concerning Maryam, O sister of Aaron. Ya ukhta Harun. Ma kana abuki imra'a saw'in wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. O sister, meaning the like of Harun, Aaron, your father was not a man who used to commit adultery, nor your mother was an unchaste woman. So where did you bring this babe Jesus? Yeah, you see, that's the point. They thought that this Harun, this Aaron is whom? Is who? They thought that this Harun, Aaron, is the brother of whom? The brother of whom? Of Musa, of Moses. Moses, son of Imran. And that Imran, this Imran, is Imran, the father of Maryam, the mother of Jesus. So when the Prophet ﷺ was asked about this, you see, he responded that this Harun, laysa huwa dhaak, he's not the same Harun. ولكنهم كانوا يسمون بأسماء يسمون بأسماء الأنبياء أو يسمون بأسماء الأنبياء والصالحين. They used to name their people, you know, names of the righteous and prophets, and the righteous carry their names. And this was brought by the delegation from the delegation of Najran, this question. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent to them Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah, he, Al-Mughira, said, the messenger sent me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the people of Najran. And they said, أَلَسْتُمْ تَقْرَؤُونَ يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ, don't you recite in your book, O sister of Harun? And you knew ما بين موسى وعيسى? And you knew what is the relation between Musa and Isa? He said, I couldn't answer them. So I returned to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I told him. He said, أَلَا أَخْبَرْتَهُمْ, you should have told them, أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا, they used to carry the names of their prophets and their righteous before them. So these people who wanted to project that the Quran contains a falsehood, like the question of the people of Najran in this case, the Prophet ﷺ answered them, and he didn't say, I don't have an answer for you except the, what? Except the sword. And it is known that the Prophet ﷺ did not send a messenger to the people of Najran, except that this occurred after the command of jihad. You understand? You see the point here? Now it's becoming clear to you? The relations between these verses and... is that clear to you? Tayyib, alhamdulillah. These are Always, yani, questions raised, even by some Muslims. Even by some Muslims. No, except after the jihad was commanded. Meaning he sent them a messenger answering their questions, right? And already the command for jihad already made. Already was revealed. You understand? You see the relation now. Okay. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Otherwise, we're going to continue, inshallah, next time, these matters, also regarding the point that Sheikh al-Islam is discussing, that there is no contradiction between the verses regarding the jihad upon those whom the jihad, the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to make, and between the verses of inviting and calling people to Allah and answering questions, etc., regarding Islam, regarding even raising doubts concerning the Quran and so forth. And that when this fits, it applies. When the other fits, it applies. In both a fit, both apply. You understand? There is no abrogation, meaning the verses of the jihad did not abrogate the verses of da'wah. This is the major point. And the other major point we want to remember, not to forget, is that here there is the Prophet ﷺ making an invitation to those, to Christians. So he's not only sent to the Arabs. You understand? He is refuting the claim of the bishop that, you know, who wrote this letter and where this book is a response that, you know, the Christians sent the Arabs. He's sent to the Arabs. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.